Studio and the Palestinian Youth Movement. The event is part of Queer Cinema for Palestine, the first ever 10-day film festival celebrating global queer realities and standing in solidarity with Palestinians. The screening at La Sala Rossa will be followed by a discussion led by the Palestinian Youth Movement. All films will be available to stream online between November 15 and November 20th through queercinemaforpalestine.org. We hope to see you there.
CKUT 90.3 FM, Montreal.
Radio.
Sound waves in the air.
CKUT.
Montreal, Canada.
CKUT.
It's time to take sampling to a whole new level.
Pleasant good afternoon to you, Montreal. Welcome to West Indian Rhythms. My name is Howard Carr.
And the co-host of the show,
Chief Sanka.
And along with the rest of the crew,
DJ Nicholas.
Special guest, DJ. With the news,
Brian Amplified.
Welcome to West Indian Rhythms.
On CKUT 90.3 FM,
People's Station.
Yeah. Yeah. Go again. No,
And pleasant good afternoon to you, Montreal. And I just want to say hi to you all out there. It's been a rough week for me, and I'm just tired of hearing this one dying, that one dying. I was watching the funeral of my good friend. We hadn't seen each other from maybe a few years. He lived in New York, then went to Miami, and he passed on in Miami. Mr. Val Vassell, a good friend of ours, and that's all I seem to be getting is sad news. You know what I mean? A musician that I totally admired, the percussionist with Bob, he passed on also, although he was 90-something, but it's hard to hear Seiko, the percussionist. It's hard to hear about someone dying. And Dennis Johnson, veteran broadcaster from Voice of Barbados, he also passed away suddenly last week. He was only 64 years of age. I don't know what's happening. I don't know if it's COVID is doing all that, but this is what is getting to me, and this one sort of hit me real hard. A friend, a young man, we knew him when he was 12 years of age. His name is Peter Austin, and his friend Ernest Wilson. Let me turn on this music. You know what? They became stars. And then they died without a penny to their names. But you know what? I'm going to get my drummer, my original drummer with me from the Viscounts band that we are friends of 50-odd years now, okay? I see somebody posted a thing. If you're a friend over 20 years, most of my band friends are over 50 years. So let me see if he's on the phone. Sydney.
Hey, Stretch. How are you doing, man?
Thanks, man. Thanks for answering the phone. I know you're a busy man, but, you know, I'm just opening the show. It's 13 minutes past the hour, 4 o'clock. And I want you, because, you know, we both remember seeing these guys come into the studio, the theater. You have better memory than the old man. So listen to me.
Yeah.
I just want you to explain to the people, who was Ernest Wilson and Peter Austin? Tell them for me, who was it? And tell them where they went and what happened to the end. Go ahead. I'm giving you the
You're giving me the floor?
Yes, because I can't no more. Did you watch Val's funeral yesterday?
No, I was busy.
Working. Yes. All right, go ahead, my friend.
Yes, my friend. Ernest and Peter came about around in the mid-60s.
Yes.
Maybe around 66, 67. And what happened? When we, Mercury's, the band was practicing, we used to rehearse at the Magnet Theater in Maypen, mm-hmm. on Brands Crescent.
Right.
And Peter and Ernest used to come by, you know. Ernest was, you know, I tell you something, my friend. Ernest was more reserved, quiet young man, young in his teens. Peter was a spokesman. And I could see where, because of, you know, the Jamaican or the West Indian thing is, Ernest had this respect for Peter because he was an older guy,
right.
Got him, you know, so he was reserved, quiet, very nice young boy, you know. And they would sing with us sometimes at the Magnet Theater. And then at the same time, we have to also remember, a lot of people don't know this, but it was Peter and Ernest who discovered Freddie McGregor.
Freddie McGregor, wicked
because
singer.
Peter used to bring Freddie, this little boy around 9 years old, coming and telling us how much he can sing.
Yep.
You know, and as you know, with Freddie McGregor, the rest is history. But back to Ernest, you know, they came from A's, where Freddie is from,
yes,
you know.
Yes, in Clarendon, yes.
Yeah, but you know something, man, that is just outside, around 8-9 miles outside of Maypen, 8 to 9 miles.
Right.
West. And southwest, rather. And the thing is, we have to remember, Stretch, Yandai, we are from that era, mm-hmm. in the music thing, and guys weren't making money.
Money.
Guys weren't making a living, barely making a living from. But what happened? The glory of hearing your voice on the radio.
The radio, yes.
And the glory of, let's face it, the girls.
Not me. I was a well-behaved guy.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So they were getting raise. They were getting praise without any raise.
I like
that. You understand?
Like
producers
that.
Were ripping these guys off left, right, and center. But they didn't say it because they didn't know better. They were just they were young in the field of music and recording. So they were being ripped off. I look at Ernest today, man, and even Peter. You know, these guys didn't make any money.
But, you know, Sydney, you can turn on your radio in your background there. So it doesn't. What Sydney is saying, go ahead, turn it down. What Sydney is saying, folks, is that, you know, we heard these guys, after they finished their little stint with us in Maypen, they went to Kingston.
Yes.
And got involved with the Coxon, the Duke Reed. At one point, I was watching an interview with Peter the other day. He said he took up a bottle and tried to burst the head of Duke Reed. Because the song took off that I just played here a while ago. And he came up with 6 pounds. 6 pounds must have been $8 or $10 then. And yeah. He says, This can't work. And anyway, don't let me get involved here now. You go right ahead.
But the thing is, so Stretch, if you remember, Pete and Ernest, which is the Claridonians, the group, the name of the group, the Idiot, they had quite a few hits.
That's what I'm saying.
They had hits after hits, and people were excited about, this may sound strange, people were excited about Ernest because he was such a young guy, young kid.
Yeah, yeah.
And his harmony, man, he harmonized so beautifully with Peter.
He could harmonize to anybody.
Yeah.
Anything.
This guy was good. And I look at him today, man, and you know his death, and you know
dying,
material things is material things.
Dying without a cent.
He could have fared off better up to the time of his death.
He's dying. He died without a cent because I watched this guy interviewing him and saying at the end of the interview, if you they'd put up a phone number and if you can send a few dollars to these guys because they made the music scene in Jamaica to what it is, and the reggae scene and this and I'm saying to myself, my God, how can you reach to that level? Now it confirms why you and I and other people, George Fennell, go right ahead.
I was going to go there, my friend. I was going to go there. You hit it before me.
Go right ahead.
Listen. I remember once, and I'm going to give you one simple story. When Byron, our bass player, died, we had just came to Canada and was forming the band in Montreal, reforming the Vicons. And if you remember when Byron died, personally, I didn't have a bunch of cash because I had just come here.
Nobody had cash.
No, none of us had money.
Yeah.
And we had to take Byron's body back to Jamaica for burial. Right. And I went there. At that time, there was a thing with Air Canada and the travel called En Route, where you could you could get a plane ticket and pay for it in installments later.
Yes, sir.
I went into the Scotiabank to get it, and the lady asked me my job. I'll never forget that in Stretch.
Mm-hmm.
The lady asked me, what do I do? Because she wanted to know, I'm going to repay for the ticket.
Right.
I told her I played in a band. She said, listen, no matter how much money a band makes, it's not recognized as a full-time job.
Yes, yes, yes.
Right?
My God.
And she looked at me and she said, Mr. Brown, I trust you. Don't let me down. I'm going to give you the ticket. I'll never forget. The lady's name was Mrs. Racicott on Queen Mary Road.
Mm.
And I'm talking 1973.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And for them, those days, I remember when we took Byron to the hospital because he had this wicked headache.
Yeah.
And you guys called me from downtown and I went down there and we took him to the hospital. All they were asking, how much drugs did he take?
Yeah.
The moment you said band, the next question was, how much drugs did he take? We said, no, we don't take drugs.
We don't use drugs, man.
We don't even smoke cigarettes in the band.
Yeah.
And they couldn't believe us. Yeah. My God, you're stirring up something here. Let me just don't listen to you.
You and I know that once you say you're playing a band, and it's worse to play in a band and you're from Jamaica.
Yes. All of a sudden, you're smoking all the weed you can't think of.
You know, we were not into them stuff.
No, the weed thing, no.
Yeah, and you know, man, I learned one thing from that bank that day. And when I stopped playing, man, I said, listen, man, in this country, to get a pension, at least a government pension. You have to find yourself a job.
Yes, sir.
And not everybody is going to turn out to be the Beatles or Bob Marley you know, this
Bob, what, yeah, exactly.
This is what mess up a lot of guys. You have to know when to leave the music alone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I say leave it alone, I still love my music.
Your music, of course. Yeah,
but
I figure
you're going to be a Bob Marley or a Teddy Pendergrass. You know, like look at guys who great basketball player, but you know how much of them, the percentage of them, get to the NBA? That's the same thing with music.
Yep.
You know, like, so I look back, man, and I see the end of this guy as you were talking, and it's a pity. It is a pity
because these guys had top three songs on the hit parade, two in England on the hit parade, and they come out with, it's like Millie Small. Look at Millie Small. She was on the Dole after having a record, My Boy Lollipop, for a million and a half people bought this thing and was still buying it, and she's on the Dole? How does that work?
I know, man, but, you know, these guys, these producers in Jamaica back then.
Oh, my God.
And they're all of them in a bridge being rich. And then the poor guys who actually do the work in the studio with this God-given gift, voices, they didn't get anything.
They didn't come out with anything. You know what, Sydney boy? I got to get you more often on this radio station with us. And we need to talk. We need to write the book. I'm going to get the editor of the community contact here to help us write a book.
We're coming from way back, my
friend. We're coming from the 60s. And you know what I'm glad about?
We learned the system.
We learned the system. And folks, we didn't tell you about the band we were in because we had fun.
It's called
the Viscounts.
Fun to the max, my friend.
Yes.
Fun to the max.
Let me explain this one time. We had a van for ourselves with a big name on the side of the van called Viscounts, and it was brand new. We had a 1600E Cortina to drive around, so some in the van, some in the car, and we played in some of the most fanciest places in Jamaica at the time, the Myrtle Bank Hotel. Wow.
We played at the Playboy. We played at the Myrtle Bank.
Stop it. Don't mention the Playboy, okay?
Yeah, we played at the Brown Jug.
Casa Montego. But, you know, folks... I'm going to get Sydney back here, and we're going to talk about the promises. Every night that we'd play in one of these fancy hotels, somebody would promise, I'm going to bring you to the States.
Oh, yeah.
If we had listened to these promises, we would have been crazy. But listen, we took it in stride, and we enjoyed it because we didn't play music for money.
No, we played for fun. Just the love of music.
Love of music.
The love of music, my friend.
My drummer, I want to thank you. I want to get Ira on one, too.
Our band leader, man.
Best band leader we could have found. Okay, Martin, don't get jealous. You're still one of my better band leaders.
Yeah.
But Martin Albino, I'm teasing. Anyway, so Sydney, thank you very much for helping me out.
Okay, my friend. Anytime.
Say hello to the madam for me, and take care. And
okay, my friend.
Keep listening to CKUT 90.3 FM because you haven't got anything like this in Toronto,
Canada. What I have like that now is some steam fish and some...
Shut up, folks. You know, he's just doing this because Sydney, let me tell you a little quick thing about my friend Sydney, one of my best friends in the world. Sydney is a man in the band. You couldn't go because, you know, I'm not really a very neat person. You couldn't go on the stage with your shirt crumpled. He'd say, where are you going with that? I said, going with what? He said, what kind of shirt that you have on? And he would take the shirt, and I don't know where he'd find the iron, but he would straighten my shirt. When we traveled and it comes to cooking, it's two of them, you know, that I know. One was in Names and Faces, was Trevor Allen. And when Sidney Brown finished in the kitchen or wherever the kitchenette, the food was sweet. So I thank you, my brother.
Okay, my brother.
And I'd still come in for the steam fish, you know.
All right, I'll leave some for you.
Don't worry, I'm starting up the helicopter right after the show.
Okay, my friend.
All right, my brother. Take care.
Take it easy. Have a good evening. You I'm too. Listening on. All okay? Right.
One of my best friends in the world, one that I can take up the phone and call and says, send me X amount of dollars. And another one in Miami, his name is Lenny Danforth. Great people. I am surrounded by great people, the love of people. And, you know, I just can't complain, really can't complain. And as of this evening, we'll be running an interview, a commercial by for Ian Lindsay's Garage. And I just want to say, I want you all to listen to this commercial and support this young man. That's one of the problems in our community. Let me just see if I can chat this to before coming up on the half an hour. I'll be speaking to Audley Coley. So Audley Coley, wherever you're there, call me. All right, call me. He has a brand new book out. Although I must confess, I didn't read this book as much as I should. This week been crazy. What was I saying again? I don't remember. So you know, because I'm doing a million things at the same time. Call me, Audley, please. And I'm going to play some commercials. Yes, as I was saying, please support these young black entrepreneurs. Please. That's one of our problems in our community. I don't know. I've said this story before. I lived in Toronto while I was going to Sheridan College. And right, I lived at 20 and a half. There's Audley. Okay, Audley. Hold on. Hold on, brother. You there, Audley? Hold on there for me a minute, all right? Please, let me just... Audley with him Jamaica thing. Yeah, man, hold on. Yes, as I was saying, 20 and a half O'Hara Street, and right across the street, 20 O'Hara Street, there was a family of Indians, about 20, 30 people. And they all would... When I'm going out to classes, there was 15 of them going to the bus, the streetcar on King Street. And then coming in the evening, there was another 15 coming in with me. And I used to say, so many people lived in that house. And I guess it was. Because, you know, I came on vacation one year and I went back to Toronto. When I went back, the house was empty. And there was a little guy that I used to play soccer with. He wasn't there. So I went across the street and I asked the landlord that I said, what happened to all the people? They worked on shift, right? He said, oh, they all moved out and they're at 7 Tyndale Avenue. They bought this 12-story apartment building. They saved up their money and they bought this apartment building. We need to support our own in the community. That's the point I'm trying to make. All right? So, I'm going to look for Mr. Audley Coley. Audley?
Yes, my brethren. My Manchesterian.
Manchesterian. The whole of we come from Manchester and Clarendon. You know,
Clarendon,
Audley.
Manchester.
I got to confess a little bit. Please bear with the old man here. You know, I didn't get to digest this book as I wanted to since I got it Monday. It's been one thing after the other happening in and around my whole life here. So I didn't get to, you know, eat and drink and sleep on this sweet novel, how it's presented. I love it. I see pictures of your mom years ago with little Audley sitting on her knees. And I'm saying to myself, my God, this is how simple and beautiful life was. So listen, what I'm going to ask you to do, and I'm going to say it here, success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. From this beautiful book that says Audley is not enough. Audley, not enough. Explain to
me. Yes, my brother.
Explain to me that title.
Well, basically, you know, the title is about overcoming adversity, because some people that know me in the community or might not even know me, you know, I had a major breakdown. You know, we don't like to discuss this, especially in our community, with mental health. And I, as I said, I was diagnosed with a bipolar illness in my 20s. You know, and I crashed, and I, you know, went through the valley of the shadow of death, and I came back on the other side. So the book basically is to help others, to guide them, right? It's like a roadmap, because especially, you know, as a Jamaican, when people have mental health issues, they don't know where to turn. So definitely, I feel very very honored that I, you know, as I said, I'm here and I can give back to the community. So for those that are looking to find a way to cope or to deal with themselves or somebody that they might know that is having a mental health issue, they know they're not alone and they know where to go.
You know, I just wanted, I sort of fell in love with your mom here. And is it because you had a strong mom that you could have pulled yourself from the depth of what you were in with the mind? Or
Well, such as you and I were talking, you know, my mother's from Clarendon.
Mm-hmm.
And my father's from Mandeville, Manchester. So, and the point is, they instilled in us certain things as child growing up. And we're also from a very strong Christian background.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, when I had my breakdown and I had given up. And as my mother came and physically took me out of Montreal, because it's hard to heal on medication. And here in Canada, and brought me back to Jamaica and go feed me up and go let me run in the bushes.
And nyam the dumpling.
And go take sea bath.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I was walking around. Down on the road. And she, God give her the strength, and she lift me up. And I said, "Mommy, if the doctor them coming, they're going to lock you up too." I said, "No, no, God come to tell me to take you up off of this bed. You have to come out."
Yes, sir. That's a mother.
You know, so, as I said, I come from a very strong spiritual, religious family. And when I got into the mental health, is the belief in God, and so that really pulled me through, because even my father would come to the hospital and say, "You're Job," you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of got away from the Bible and all that, but then the madness brought me back. Sometimes you have to go mad to go back to where you really belong,
where the sanity is concerned. As I said, I'm a big admirer and I'm a fan of your mom. I see where in the book you said Audley's mother, Doreen Coley, and the letter from the royal family. Tell me a little bit about that letter, what it meant, and what was it all about?
Well, you know, I'm at the Atwater Club. I work with a group of women for the last 20 years in teaching fitness.
Lucky you.
So I have a big shout out to the Yummy Mummies in my group. But there's a gentleman at the club who's a very big believer in me. His name is Bob Robert Ayers.
Mm-hmm.
And one day he came to me and he goes, "You know, you should send a book to the royals, because, you know, everybody have mental health issues." But the royals came out, Prince Harry came out that he had some challenges himself. And he goes, "What are the chances of sending a book to the royals and you'd get a response back?" So, you know, I didn't even think twice about it. So we wrote a letter, and, you know, Bob and Bernie Creighton, put together a nice letter to the Royals, to Will and Kate, and sent, and I autographed the book and sent it. And he kept, every day, Arlie, did you get any hear back from them yet? And I go, I didn't even expect to hear back from them, because I can only imagine how many people send letters to the Royals. But one day I came home, and when I went into the mailbox, I saw a letter with the Royal seal on it. I couldn't even talk. Mm. So the first person I called was Bob.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't even open it till I saw him. And we got the white gloves and the letter opener, and we had an official letter opening at the Atwater Club. So, you know, that was how it was really Bob's idea to even reach out to the Royals. See, like right now, I'm trying to reach out what's on the end there in the state there?
Mr. Biden.
Boy, I'm having a senior's moment.
It's okay, you're a senior. Get your moment together. You mean Camilla, right?
No. Oprah.
Oprah, okay.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan, so I wouldn't remember her
name. That's okay. Stress, trust me, I heard you're talking about the artists that never have any money.
Mm-hmm.
Oprah, hold up my book, I can feed the artists them in Jamaica, all right?
I know what you're saying. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. But, you know, okay, moving right along. It says moving on, a chapter here.
Yes.
It's been 20 years since Audley left the hospital. Once he got his bipolar condition under control, it was clear to him that he could help people suffering from mental health. I see you're dancing in a, I hope I get this right, dancing Iqaluit.
Iqaluit.
Yes.
Iqaluit.
Tell me about that, because that's the top of Quebec, right?
No. That's far, that's in the Northwest Territories. That's past Quebec.
Ooh.
Okay, that's Iqaluit used to be called Frobisher Bay, and that's where I went back in the 70s when my mom kicked me out of the house because she said you can't make a living dancing. So just like you know, as a musician, because you know, when you come from the Caribbean, you have to have a real job,
right?
So I went to a place called Frobisher Bay.
I know,
and big shout out, my daughter. That's where my daughter lives.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I have a daughter, Mary Elise, up in Iqaluit, and my granddaughter. So you know, while I was up there, I started. I look a family.
You have a right. You're a naughty boy, but it's good.
No, it wasn't naughty. Do you know how cold it is up there, Stretch?
I know, but trust me, I've been up there twice. I've been up there with my friend who flew for Nordair. And
So, and being the only Jamaican at the time.
You had to spread the seed, didn't you?
Huh?
You had to spread the seed, being an only Jamaican up there.
Well, you know, the other Jamaicans do, we go out and multiply. So we, you know. that was how I ended up north, is that I ended up in Frobisher Bay. And my daughter was born. I love her dearly, Mary Elise. And now she has two daughters, my granddaughters.
Whoa!
And man.
Give thanks, man.
And so they're actually coming down to Montreal for my book launch.
When? I need to meet them.
Atwater Club on the 18th.
I need to meet them. All right, please. I would love to have them on air. Folks, in case you're just joining us, I'm talking to a dear friend of mine. His name is Audley Coley. Brand new release of his book. It's simply called Audley Enough. Go ahead, Audley.
No, I just want to say a big shout out to Molly and the kids, and you know, because
Molly are we talking about? You have
Molly, Prezi's wife.
Oh, Prezi's wife. Okay.
Because as I said, I went to some major battle right here in the city,
mm-hmm.
and if it wasn't for, as I said, Prezi, to me, is like the father I never had or the big brother. And this man, you know, in Jamaica, you might call him prophet, but he's a visionary. Mm-hmm. And he helped me in more, no words cannot even express the way this man helped me. And I'll be living through a lot of what I've achieved. I owe a lot, especially in the last while, to Noel Alexander.
Yes.
You know, I said, love always.
Well, it's a lot of people, eh? And I'm glad you took the time, didn't prompt you to do that. You did it on your own. But, you know.
No, you can't prompt me to do that, Stretch.
No, but what I'm saying, it's not you alone, because Jack Cutter, you know, I heard he was crying on his knees for the president. I heard several other guys was crying on their knees for the president. Noel Alexander, he did his share, and he made sure he left a crown so that there's somebody who needs to wear that crown and become a person of our community, because this is what we don't have so much in our community, leaders. And if we do have leaders, there's people who are so busy trying to pull them down. But Noel Alexander, as with your words, he lived it and he took care of people like you, who said you felt like he was your dad. And that's God.
No, well, no, I think he's a dad, he's a father figure to a lot of people.
A lot of people. That's what I'm saying.
As I was telling Molly, I have never bawled. You know, like you have Bob Marley and the Wailers. But I danced at, you know, for those that don't know, I actually danced at a celebration.
Yeah, I heard about it.
I bawled. I never, even people in my family, my own blood, I never bawled. I never cried like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, I mean, it was an honor to be in contact with that.
In great company. Great company. Anyway, my friend. Go ahead.
And
go
also,
ahead.
I want to give a big shout out to Clarence Baines, who is Miss Dr. Baines.
Dr.
Is
Clarence
like
Baines.
An elder in our community. And it's important, especially for the young people, when they're looking for information, go and tap into Dr. Baines, because he has a lot of information.
Of course.
Okay, because you know what they say in the community, anytime that an elder goes, is a library. Okay, and we don't have much library left, because Prezi gone, so there's one library burned down.
Yes.
But Clarence Baines is still there.
Mm-hmm. Oddly, we got to wrap up this, and it's always a pleasure talking with you, whether on the radio or not.
Don't forget to shout out your brother in Washington, you know, and let him know that I want to talk to Oprah.
I will tell him exactly, though. Maybe he's listening, but tell me.
Yeah. And I'll just pick up Mark and the Jamaican Association and Sharon. And if you for good food.
Oh, listen, hold on. You just call her name, Sharon, and I'm vexed with Sharon. I love her. But I am vexed. I'm totally vexed.
Totally vexed.
You know what happened? Last week they had a breakfast, a brunch, right? And I phoned, and she answered the phone. And I said, what is it? Can I get a takeout? She said, because I want to support my Jamaica Association. She said, yes. And I said, okay, let me call you back, because I got to find out. It's not me alone, so I got to find out what.
Oh, boy.
So I found out. I call her back. Sharon answers the phone, and she puts, hello, and she puts the phone down on the desk. So I'm hearing everything. Nobody's answering me, so I'm totally mad. Sharon, I'm coming to look for... I love you, Sharon.
Stretch,
you're my friend.
You can't do that, man. I'm shouting at the woman all of a sudden. Anyways, okay, Mango Bay and all of you guys, man. Love you. One love, you know.
Where is the book available?
The book will be available after... I'm going to put it some up at Tim's at the...
On the West Island?
In the West Island for now, right? But then it's going to be at Indigo and all of the above, and I'll try to get it in some of the places, you know, in the community.
All right, my brother. I thank
you. But for now, Tim's will have some probably as of the weekend.
I thank you.
Yeah, man.
And Audley, continue doing what you're doing because it's beautiful what you've done. You've come from the depths to the bright sunshine. And I certainly admire you for that. So whenever you want to talk, feel free to call West Indian Rhythms or CKUT. Any program you want to get onto, just call CKUT because this is what we're here. We're
and
here
Stretch,
for.
I thank you for giving me this platform. And I want to reach out to the community and let them know anybody's having any mental health issues, I'm always here.
Yes. How can they reach you, though?
Yeah, on my email, audleycoley@gmail.com. Or more time, trust me, if you're having a mental health issue, you just want to call me. And I as I said, I
is
will.
Is there a number? You want to give out your number on here?
Come on. What do you mean? 514-451-9077.
Good. Repeat that for me slowly.
514-451-9077.
Audley Coley, I thank you, sir.
Yes.
Have a beautiful rest of the afternoon.
And you too. And God bless, man. One love as always.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, man.
I'm playing this song. It's called Outstanding. How many of you know this song? Released in 1982 by the Gap Band. Gotta say sorry, the vocalist has left us. Ronnie Wilson from the Gap Band. That's the voice you're hearing. Has gone on to his maker. I gotta pay a tribute because I enjoy dancing to this. And you can hear this at 7 o'clock coming up. Mike Mission and the Dog.
You light my fire.
You light my fire. I shouldn't say it, but I'll say it. Damn! I want to get back to the 80s. Ah. Woo! Sweet then. Sweet then. This music is called Outstanding. And that's what we are on CKUT. CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial. Blazing! Thank you, Sydney Brown. Thank you, Mr. Cooley. Loving this. This just loving it. You blew my mind. Gap Band. Let me shut up and just ride with me, all right? Coming up at 7 o'clock. Check out the Dog and Mike Mission. You may hear something like this or DJ Butcher T. New Time Cuts. He's the one who introduced this to me. Good afternoon to you, Colin Lewis, damn troublemaker. Still my friend, though. I want to say, what's up, Faitlin Sanka? Like you dash me away? No, I know how it is. It's my fault. Simply call outstanding. Normally, we don't do that because we are not allowed, or we shouldn't, to rock into some the other programs, who does the funk and so forth. There's one on Friday night with Mr. Smith. Check out CKUT. You're going to hear music that you say, wow, damn. The Gap Band, outstanding. Rest in peace, Ronnie Wilson. Lots of fun. You know, in my days growing up in the city, we DJs played everything. You know what I mean? It's now 4:54, 6 minutes to the hour of 5 o'clock, and we're going to say 6 minutes to the hour of DJ Nicholas, who is looking bored, twiddling his thumbs because he wants to impress. And, God... Listen to the funk. Listen to the funk. Oh, God. May I tell you something? I love this music. I love it. Gap Band. It's by, it's outstanding. Going to take you all the way down to Ghana in Africa. And listen to this and learn. CKUT 90.3 FM. Special like to all my listeners and the listeners of CKUT. One love.
Et non, c'est tant que le monde n'avance pas, qu'on vite se poser. C'est one love, c'est one try. c'est pour voir nos enfants le sourire en Range Rover.
Let them pass all the dirty remarks. There is one question I really love to ask. Is there a place for the hopeless sinner who has hurt all mankind just to save his own?
At Lindsay Auto, 4 Rue St. Charles, door E in El Bazar. Rust proofing, new tires, oil change, tire change. Winterize your vehicle. All your vehicle care can be done here. General inspection and maintenance. That's Lindsay Auto, 4 Rue St. Charles. That's over there in El Bazar. 514-781-7373. That's 514-781-7373. Lindsay Auto. Lindsay, you can't Auto. Go wrong. Lindsay, you can't Auto. Go wrong.
If you have flu-like or COVID-19-like symptoms, such as fever, cough, loss of taste or smell, or if you have been in contact with someone infected with the virus, it's essential to get tested and to follow isolation instructions, even if you're vaccinated. Screening remains one of the best ways to limit outbreaks. To find out more, visit quebec.ca/test COVID-19. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
There's a lot going on in the world today. See how it affects money.